Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's time for the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm Chris Carter here at Mike's Beer Bar. We're going to get you prepared with a full preview of Steelers versus Bills in the playoffs. Chris Carter, Brian Badko here for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with one of our esteemed Steelers beat writers, Brian Badko. We're here getting you ready for Steelers versus Bills, 1 p.m. Sunday with a kickoff time. It's going to be a windy situation in Buffalo. We'll get into all the elements of this matchup and what Steelers fans need to be looking out for if the Steelers are to be the first 7 seed, upset of 2 seed, since the NFL expanded to a 14-team playoff system. As always, you can find the show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed, subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily content that comes out from all of our Pittsburgh sports writers here at the Post-Gazette. And a reminder that our show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, this amazing place that I'm in right now. Mike's Beer Bar is the place you want to be because they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are local. 80 of those local beers are available on tap. And you're always getting new ones, and we'll talk about some of the ones that are here on this very list. The Friday flight that you all need to be sure trying if you're coming down here to enjoy watching some sports this weekend. More on Mike's Beer Bar later. Brian, everyone's talking about this game in town right now. And there's different things that are being discussed. You know, what's up with Mason Rudolph in the depth chart? What's up with Mike Taisi and Bill Belichick and Nick Saban and Pete Carroll being removed from their jobs? What about Mike Tomlin? But the Steelers seem ultra focused on just this game and this moment. Do you get a sense that they're able to block out the noise to kind of at least be focused going into this game?
I certainly hope so. It's win or go home at this point, so you better not be concerned about anything other than who's going to be on the grass up in Buffalo and what it takes to win this game and go one at a time. I think that can be a benefit of being a 7 seed, sneaking in on the final day of the season and knowing that, you know, nobody really expects you to win. I think you can play a little bit more laser focused, because if you're a team that's expecting to go to the Super Bowl and you've got those expectations on you from the outside world as well, probably difficult to take it a game at a time. But for the Steelers, we know they don't have that luxury. We also know they've been in the playoffs essentially for the last 3 weeks. Their backs have been against the wall.
Yeah, good point.
Since they lost to the Colts and Indy and were 7-7. So they've sort of been through this. That can work one of two ways. It can get your mind ready for doing it again, or it's just the next step toward running out of gas at some point. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a weather impacted game. I'm pretty sure of that. So we'll see what happens with this team. They just need to have a better showing than in 21, similar situation where not much was expected of them going to Kansas City. I think they all tried to sort of keep things light and loose and maybe a little too loose because they went out there and got completely outclassed by the Chiefs, and that was that.
Certainly, but this Steelers team feels different. They're not coming into this game thinking, oh, we're just happy to be here. You know, Broderick Jones, you know, he put on his Instagram, he's like, they let us in the door, now we're ready to kick the door down. There's a sense that the Steelers are, I think the Steelers are much better equipped than that team was to at least battle against the teams of the AFC this year. One, I don't think the top teams in the AFC are nearly what they were that year, where Kansas City, the team that they played, was, I think that was, they went on to win the Super Bowl. So, like, you know, they were a really tough team. You know, the Bengals were top notch that year. The Bills, I think, were better that year than they are this year. You know, there's a lot of things that go into how that year played out, but this year, the Steelers have found a run identity. In the last 10 weeks, they've averaged 145 yards per game. They've been really strong on the ground since the starting of Broderick Jones added to the lineup. With Mason Rudolph back, they've been on fire on offense and efficient at worst when they've been. And now you face a Bills team that, still, this is a Bills team that preseason everyone was talking about this needs to be a Super Bowl year for them. But if the Steelers are going to claim anything in their favor in this game, what is the biggest factor that they have to achieve? Is it the run game? Is it the defense? What is the thing that they have to do most in your eyes?
Chaos, probably. Thriving in chaos. Because, look, if you told me this game was going to be early September, sunny skies, 70 degrees, conditions fine for Mason Rudolph versus Josh Allen, I'd say, look, Mason better come to play. Mason better be ready to out-duel Josh Allen for the most part, or else, you know, you aren't winning this. But
right,
that's not going to be what it is. It's going to be early to mid-January, icy cold. And, you know, that game against the Chiefs was, you know, there was no snow, but I remember from being up there, there was like an ice storm in Kansas City.
Mm.
And, you know, that didn't stop Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill from lighting up the Steelers, at least after a slow start. You know, TJ Watt had that scoop and score early, but the Steelers offense couldn't do anything. And the Chiefs took off after that. They didn't win the Super Bowl that year. That was the year.
That's right.
But still, they had Tyreek Hill. They had Travis Kelce. They had Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Were able to cut through, you know, any weather issues. But I don't think it's, I think it's going to be tougher for Josh Allen and company and his supporting cast to do that. You know, we'll see what the forecast ends up holding, but I think this is going to be more of a ground and pound game for both teams. I don't think it's going to be easy to just fling the ball around and let your playmakers do their thing. You know, there's going to be a lot on the trenches in this one. Both offensive and defensive lines are going to need to come to play and make sure they aren't getting pushed around, because that could be the difference, and taking care of the football could well be the difference in what I think is going to be a little bit of a, you know, murky, muddy game where some weird bounces might happen and, you know, one or two mistakes could be the difference.
Absolutely. And I think that when we talk about weather conditions in this game, normally when you think weather conditions, oh, you mean it's going to be snowy, you know, it's going to be, you know, piled up and they're going to be, no, it's less the snow in this game. There's going to be some snow on the ground, you know, from the, you know, accumulation of the past days, but the big conditions are going to be the wind. And according to weather reports, they're going to see gusts of up to 50 to 60 miles per hour and sustained winds of around 30 miles per hour for this game.
I think that levels the playing field a little. I mean, if this game were in a dome, I think it would be more likely that the Bills could just lay waste to the Steelers and no stopping Josh Allen and company with your sort of patchwork defense that's getting healthier, but still a lot of backups and off the couchers in there. Instead, you know, I think it's a little bit tougher to predict what the Bills are going to be able to do through the air.
According to Warren Sharp, who's one of the big analytics guys out there, he said that the highest winds that we've ever seen in a playoff game has been 14 miles per hour. And that was pretty wild for the game that it was in, according to what he posted an article about this. If the winds are 30 to 50 miles per hour, it's going to be something we haven't seen in a playoff atmosphere. And like you said, it will make this game come down to the trenches. I want to talk about some of those matchups in the trenches the Steelers have to win specifically on both sides of the ball, because whereas the Steelers have become a better running football team this year with the emergence of Broderick Jones, the 1-2 punch of Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, the Bills have also become a better run team since they took on offensive coordinator's promotion, Joe Brady, and James Cook has become a big factor, and Leonard Fournette, who the Steelers are very familiar with in the playoffs, is also part of this team. We'll talk about the other side of this first break here in the Mike's Beer here in the North Shore Drive podcast. But we are here at Mike's Beer Bar, the number one bar in all of Pittsburgh. You got to get down here. It's the best place to come and enjoy a sporting event if you're not able to get to it. And if you want to watch the Steelers, Why go anywhere else? They have over 20 televisions, so the game will be on every corner. You can also keep tabs on anything else in sports that you want to be here. And while you're doing that, they have over 500 different available beers. In the next two segments, we're going to go over quite a few of them for our Friday flight that you got to try when you come down here. You can order a flight with all of them. There's 300 of those beers are from the local area. 80 of those local beers are available on tap at all times. And they're always switching new ones in and out, so you always have new options. That's why when we talk about flights in this show, we've been doing this for the past 3 months since the season started back in September, and every week we've had new beers. Why? Because there's always new beers here at Mike's Beer Bar, which you got to come down and try. They also have steak on a stone, where it's a steak that's brought to you on a heated stone. Each piece you cut off, you press into the stone, and you choose how well done you want each piece as you work through your steak. It's an amazing place, an amazing bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Come down here on the North Shore of Pittsburgh to Mike's Beer Bar on Federal Street, right across the street from PNC Park. And when you get here, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with our Steelers beat writer, Brian Batko. Brian, before we get into our key matchups here between these two teams, I want to talk about the Gristhouse Clean Line IPA, because it is a clean IPA. It is an easy
clean shave for me and a clean line IPA.
I was going to say, like, you, when you showed up to the facility this week with your beard chopped off and you just got like a nice look, you trying to look like me out here. And
I lost like 5 pounds, I think, with that. My face is cold now, though. I was pumping gas. I was like, geez, this is not good. This was a poor decision.
That is the harder thing about winter. When you cut your hair, you feel it if you don't got like scarves and hats on.
I was just thinking postseason, fresh slate. I'll go fresh, too. So here we are.
Well, the Steelers are trying to be fresh when they take on the Bills, and that's what they're going to try to do with the run game. And I think it's not just going to be – they're going to need some pass game to, like, kind of back the Bills off, because the Bills are no dummies. They know the Steelers want to run the ball. They're going to try to bring it. But if you're the Steelers, what is the big factor? Is there any players in particular that you're expecting up front to be a difference maker that could get the run game going?
Well, I mean, but first, though, to your point, I mean, yeah, sometimes, you know, you overthink the weather aspect of it, and it can actually work in reverse where the defense, you know, defenders lose their footing, not necessarily knowing where they're going to go, or, you know, if they're cold, that can be advantage to the offense. You know, if you've got an offensive player who's built for that and is able to use that quick change of direction, that can. So maybe you do continue to benefit from these quick strike plays if you're the Steelers in the passing game. And right now the Bills secondary is probably the most suspect aspect of their entire team, missing a bunch of guys, especially at cornerback. You know, Christian Benford, Dane Jackson from Pitt had to fill in for Rasul Douglas. So I'm a little bit worried about how they'll hold up, you know, against the Steelers pass catchers from their standpoint. But yeah, I do still think it's going to come down to getting it going on the ground. That's been the recipe and the formula for success over these last few weeks. Plus, I think if you're the Steelers, you just want to try to condense this game a little bit. You know, keep the ball away from Josh Allen just as much as you keep it with your offense. Time of possession can be an overrated stat to me. But in this case, where you know the other team's probably a little bit more talented, certainly has a little more firepower offensively than, you know, using your big guys up front to set the tone and, like I said, shorten the game, play a little bit of keep away, that can go a long way as well. And like I said in the first segment, clearly we know these last couple seasons when the Steelers win, it's because they win the turnover battle. They're plus 11 in turnover margin, tied for third best in the NFL. The Bills are only plus 2. If you only watch the highlight shows, you'd probably think they were minus 30 because of Josh Allen, but they're still plus 2, and they're the 2 seed in the NFL. So it's something that it's not their strong suit, obviously. It's an area where they've struggled at times. So running the ball, as long as you're not coughing it up like Jalen Warren was in Baltimore, as long as you're not fumbling like Najee Harris did in Kansas City, and that game was pretty much out of reach last time they were in the playoffs, then that also is a little bit more of a conservative game plan. You're not risking interceptions, pick sixes, short fields, sudden change situations for your defense against Josh Allen.
I agree. That's where you got it. You have to protect the football and you have to take it away, especially from a team that gives it away like the Bills do. Josh Allen, one of the best players in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. He led the league in touchdowns scored as far as thrown and combined with his rushes, but he also led the league in turnovers when it came to quarterbacks. And that's going to be that's going to be something the Steelers have to key in on. But I want to get back to the point that you made about time possession. There's sometimes the time of possession can be overhyped, but there's also times where I think it is also necessary to possess the football. The Steelers, a perfect example, the Steelers just a couple weeks ago when they played the Seahawks, Geno Smith was playing a really good game of football against the Steelers. They were bringing heat. He was dodging it. He was keeping plays alive, and the defense was running out of answers, but they were able to find enough answers in that game because the Steelers offense possessed the ball for 37 and a half minutes, making the Seahawks only have it for about 22 and a half minutes. And because of that, the Seahawks only had four drives in the first half and five in the second half. That's a major difference when you look at how that game played out, and you look at what happened there. Because when I look back,
every second that ticked off the clock with Najee Harris and Jalen Warren was one that DK Metcalf wasn't taking the top off the defense and changing the whole complexion of the game.
Exactly. And a perfect example is that Chiefs game that you're talking about. The Steelers were in that game up until about midway through the second, like 6 minutes left in the second quarter. Oh, no, I even say 3 minutes left in the second quarter is when the Chiefs really started to take over. But the Steelers were in that game. The defense was, had forced two punts, an interception, another punt, a fumble return for a touchdown in its first drive. The problem was there were eight first half drives by the Chiefs because the Steelers kept going three and out and three and out and three and out and three and out. And that's what the Steelers need to not do in this game. They need to not give Josh Allen eight chances in the first half to figure out what their defense is. They need to keep it.
The Steelers punted on every drive of that first half in Kansas City.
Yep.
They never made it past, I think, their own 40. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, that was just a talked about recipe for success. That was a recipe for disaster.
It was exactly. And that was, I think the defense, they came out with an initial plan to say, hey, we can contain the Chiefs for a little bit. And if we possess the football, we stand a chance. But after that, it was like, well, we spent those bullets on that thing. And that's where it's gone. But, a perfect comparison, the Seahawks only four first half drives, only five second half drives in that game. That has to be the pace of this game. The Steelers need to possess the football, keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. And I think if you do that, and if you can get an early score or two, you can go up 10-0, 10-3, something like that, and then you take that into the second half, Josh Allen's going to be pressed to make a play. He's a guy, he's a gunslinger. He wants to be the hero. He wants to be the guy that saves the Bills. That's where you can put him in enough pressure to make the big mistake and then cause the costly turnover that flips it in your favor.
And we'd be remiss not to mention, to wrap up this segment, that the player who usually tends to force those mistakes, spark those turnovers by the offense, get the Steelers defense going, is TJ Watt. And he will not be on the field Sunday at 1 p.m. or at 3:50 p.m. if they need a big play off the edge. I've got more belief in his backups than I have since I've been covering the team. When you look at Nick Herbig and Marcus Cole, you know what? Melvin Ingram was really good week one in Buffalo in 2021. But he's in Miami now, so he got cooked by the Bills Sunday night. But yeah, I mean, the backups are a lot more capable of impacting the game than they have been really since they traded Melvin Ingram at that deadline. So, it's easier said than done. Nick Herbig and Marcus Golden aren't going to be TJ Watt, but if they can just minimize the drop off from him to the next guy, and I think Golden's probably going to start, but that's not a bad thing. It's almost like the Najee Harris, Jalen Warren duo on offense. You get a bigger guy in there in Golden, maybe with some bull rushes, some power, and then you throw the fastball at them with Nick Herbig, really on either side, because Alex Highsmith, he could go Iron Man. He could play every snap. He's done that before. But I think you're probably going to try to rotate a little bit among the three. And, Deion Dawkins has a nice resume in the NFL on the left side for the Bills, but he ain't Trent Williams. And on the other side, Spencer Brown is humongous, even by NFL right tackle standards. 6'8", 3'10". That's a lot of length. the key, I think, is going to be, can a guy like Nick Herbig use that to his favor, use that to his advantage to go from, you know, speed rushes, get, you know, bend around the edge, work, you know, make Spencer Brown's size and lack of mobility work against him. It's going to be really fun to watch that game within the game.
One of the moves that we were talking about during training camp that Nick Herbig was showing a lot of was his ghost move, where he kind of present his shoulder as a striking target. And if the offensive tackle lunges for it, he can just dip under it. And that's the move that he does. That's what you do against bigger guys when you're smaller and quicker and faster. The question is, can he do it consistently enough and get Spencer Brown to bite on those type of things? And can they get those mismatches?
Yeah. And the flip side is, if Spencer Brown gets his hands on him,
it's over.
Herbig might get blocked out of the screen. So,
right.
So we'll see. That'll be fun to watch for sure.
Absolutely. We'll get to our predictions and our final thoughts on this big matchup, Steelers versus Bills, here on the North Shore Drive podcast. And reminder, though, one of the beers of the Friday flight that you need to try out is the Conan Super Crush IPA. It's another IPA beer. It's really rich. It's really great. It's clean. And I think that's one of the things that, if you come down here at Mike's Beer Bar, you're trying all these different types of beers. There's a couple more that I'll discuss in this last segment here. But also, we are sponsored by Savinus, Kane, and Gallucci. They're mesothelial and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinus, Kane, and Gallucci. We're also brought to you by GameTime.co, where buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. GameTime is the fast and easy way that you need to buy tickets right now to your next sporting event, concert, comedy event, theater event. Whatever it is, Game Time's most likely got tickets for an event near you. If you ever had to buy tickets and you're running down to the last minute and you're thinking, well, I was trying to save money on it, so I'm going to go to the ticket booth and see what deals I can get, or I'm going to see what scalpers can get on me. Don't do either of those options, because Game Time gets you the best of both worlds. It gets you the official view from the seats that you're not getting scammed, like when you go to the ticket booth and you know that you're getting the view that you actually want. But it also gets you the best prices, like you're trying to get when you're picking off tickets off the street. Game Time is an app you can download right to your phone and get tickets looking right at your phone for free. And they're getting you the best discounts on all the prices. Game Time is so confident that they're getting you the best prices, they have the best price guarantee. They promise you, if you get tickets through Game Time to an event and you find tickets in the same section and row for less somewhere else, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference of those prices. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app today. And when you do, make sure to put in the code PITTPIT to get $20 off your first purchase when you go to GameTime.co, the website, or you download the GameTime app. Again, that's create an account and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Batko here at Mike's Beer Bar on the North Shore of Pittsburgh. Another beer that you guys need to try, and it's a different flip up here, the Abjuration Butter Beer. It is fantastic. It is my favorite beer on this flight. I was like, butter beer? Like, I don't know. Harry I've heard Potter. About that in Harry Potter. Exactly. But, Brian, it's something that you got to put on your Friday flight. You coming
I've,
down
to I've Mike's I've had beer Abjuration bar. Before. They have some very unusual beers, but I've liked a lot of what I've tried from them. They do the typical stuff well too. So shout out to them.
Absolutely. But that's why Mike's Beer Bar is special. You get the normal beers and you get the ones that you're like, I never thought that was even possible.
I don't have to drive from Shaler to McKees Rocks to get it. And just go to Mike's.
Exactly. Mike's is the best place to be. Let's get into some predictions for this game. Okay, so we talked about the run game, and people are probably sitting there saying, yeah, TJ Watt's out, but Minkah Fitzpatrick's back. Brian, with Minkah Fitzpatrick and DeMonte KZ back, I expect Patrick Peterson to move back to cornerback, because then the Steelers can get a full complement, the fullest complement they've had to their secondary in over a month now. If they're able to do that, what can that do to help the defense kind of maybe neutralize? You can't take away Stephon Diggs. You can't take away the passing game from the Bills. They're too talented. But if they do take to the air and they're able to try to, you know, operate in the winds, what can the secondary do to try to neutralize that factor of the game?
Well, you got to try to take Stephon Diggs out of it with Joey Porter Jr. as much as possible. And that's going to be, I mean, I mentioned Nick Herbig, Spencer Brown, when they're matched up against each other, that probably the best one-on-one battle, as it tends to be with this, you know, very fun, brash rookie corner for the Steelers, type of player they have not had in years, is Joey Porter Jr. versus Stephon Diggs. You know, I assume he's going to shadow him. The best, you know, the best receivers that he's faced so far in his career, he has been on them, traveling with them, and it's a testament to him. It's credit to Mike Tomlin, Terrell Austin, and their defensive game plan for getting out of character for how they usually operate and allowing a young gun to be that lockdown guy. I would say the player that he's had the close, you know, the player he's faced who's the closest skill set wise, size wise to Diggs is probably Ja'Marr Chase. And Cincy, he's got a little more straight line speed at this point in his career, I bet. But Joey Porter Jr. did a good job against Chase, and his, you know, he's maybe he not as good of a route runner as Diggs, but held him to 4 for 80. But two of those were very fluky off tips, so it was really like 2 catches for 36 yards, I think, Chase with Porter in coverage. So I mean, I like Porter's chances there, but you know, Diggs is. He's always open. There's a reason why he's one of the best receivers in the league, and just kind of quietly another 1,000-yard season again this year.
That's why I asked Mike Tomlin about Stephon Diggs, and he talked about him being the best. Yeah, he gave a great answer. He praised the heck out of
him. McCardell should be the Steelers' next wide receivers coach, although I guess the Vikings probably like having him over there.
Yeah, you know, he's doing a pretty good job with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison over there. I think he wouldn't mind working with those guys a few more years. But in all seriousness, you know, Stephon Diggs is going to bring that challenge. But like Joey Porter Jr., like you said, Ja'Marr Chase, he did a pretty good job against T. Higgins, who's another really good receiver. I think he did a really good job against DeAndre Hopkins when they told him to line up with him all game. Cooper Kupp, when they were up against them. I look at Joey Porter Jr., and yes, he can get handsy, and he's committed, you know, quite a few penalties this year. But he's also allowed the best percentage, completion percentage, of all NFL cornerbacks that have played at least 360 snaps in coverage this year at 45.2% when quarterbacks are targeting. He's also allowed the fewest receptions of any cornerback who's been targeted 50 times this year. That's why they drafted him. They drafted him to be contested, to make sure that, hey, I'm going to close the passing window as small as possible. If you make a great catch, congratulations to you. But I'm going to make you have to be perfect. And that's one thing that he does very well. Thing is, Stephon Diggs can be perfect. They're going to have to, I think one thing he has to do is force Stephon Diggs to play one of the best games of his career in this game. And Stephon Diggs, no slouch to stepping up in big moments. We've seen him with the Vikings and the Bills over the years. Step
He's
up
played
big
in the
moment.
Snow in Buffalo too. So this is absolutely, you know, nothing new for him.
Absolutely. And I think that's where the Steelers come in. But I think also one thing the secondary can do on top of, you know, guarding against Stephon Diggs is when Josh Allen, he makes mistakes, oftentimes he's trying to kind of extend a play. He's trying to gunsling. One, you have to contain him. You have to use, like, as much as you need those guys up front to get pressure, you also need a plan to make sure that he can't just kill you with his legs to take away, to enforce him to have to throw the ball in situations where they didn't get the initial matchup. They didn't get the initial, you know, hot route that they thought that would be open. And part of that's going to be properly disguising looks, knowing the kind of things that Josh Allen wants to see in defenses, and then in disguising it, making him think it's there, and then taking it away with the post-snap adjustments. And with Minkah Fitzpatrick back, with DeMonte KZ back, with Peterson maybe being back at corner, I think also Shannon Sullivan has stepped up. They have the personnel to do those things on defense. The question will be, can Terrell Austin and this defense put together a plan that will make that a reality on Sunday?
I also think special teams could be a factor in this game. I mean, when absolutely, you get into conditions such as this, funky things can happen in the kicking and punting game. And you know, Tyler Bass has a big leg for the Bills, but we know that Chris Boswell's been in these high leverage situations before too. So I think that's another area that could come into play, is just which of those you, and I should mention, big reason why the Bills are even here right now, Deontay Hardy with the 90 some yard return touchdown to really flip the script and beat the Dolphins on Sunday.
That was a big part of the story, because they gave the Dolphins, or gave the Bills, a boost in that game when they absolutely needed it. They also had that tip pass catch for a touchdown. That's another thing about this, Brian. And I as we get to our predictions, I want to ask you this version of the question, because we talk about matchups, but there's a lot of people out there who think the Steelers don't stand a chance, who think that the Steelers, this Bills team, is just going to bowl them over. It's going to be a blowout from the start. It's going to look a lot like that Chiefs game from 2 years ago. And, you know, I hear that the Bills are a talented team. And listen, the Bills have been, they've been on that team that's been on the cusp. Everyone's been saying for the past several years that this is their year. This is their year. This might be one of the last this is their years that they're going to have with this current core as it's currently constructed. Do you have a sense, or what, if you do have a sense that this game isn't going to be a blowout, what's the biggest factor you think that plays into the Steelers making this a bigger game than maybe some are giving them credit for?
Mostly just the elements and possibly some weird things happening with the weather and all that. I mean, I mentioned I think the Bills corners are suspect, and I like the Steelers wide receivers in a vacuum in those matchups. But again, I don't know how well anybody's going to be able to throw the ball. That all just makes this too difficult for me to think that the Bills are going to roll. I mean, 10-point spread seems
That's
like
a lot of points.
It seems like a lot to me when you know that there might be external factors that make this not a simple, their roster versus our roster. So, but all that said, the Bills are on a roll right now this season.
5 in a row.
Sean McDermott was going through a lot of turmoil 5 or 6 weeks ago, much of it self-inflicted, but instead of going in the tank, they've simply got off the mat and been even better, been the type of team that a lot of people expected they would be this year. And as far as the external factors and the intangibles, this group is a lot more playoff tested and battle tested than the Steelers. They do this every year. Steelers weren't in the dance a year ago. We know how much turnover there's been, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I think they have 18 first or second year players who have obviously never been in a postseason game. So that's probably advantage Bills too, if you put much stock into that. But I don't know. Should we just give our predictions now?
That's what I'm going to ask you next. Talking?
All right.
What's your final score prediction?
Let's do it. Like I said, I don't think the Bills cover 10, but a lot of the things that I just laid out there, and plus Josh Allen, even if it is bad weather, I think the beauty of him as a player, he's not just a quarterback. He's not just a passer. He's an all-around threat. I think he'll find a way to score points and get it done. Maybe the Steelers hit on a big play or two to hang around, but I'm going to go Buffalo 24, Steelers 18.
24-18. That would be a one-score game. I just had to do math in my head real quick. I'm with you that it's going to be close. I think with you it's going to be down to the wire. I think that these elements do play a big role in this. I think that the Steelers are able to capitalize on it for a bit. The question I'll have is, can they flip those turnovers in their favor? Can they get the secondary to make a big play? And can they get a big special teams play? I think that they get one of those special teams plays that happened when they won in Buffalo back in 2021. I think they get a
first Miles Killebrew punt block as a Steeler.
Absolutely. That's where I think it comes down to. I actually have the Steelers winning this game 23-21 in a crazy finish that gets that seems chaotic. Like, that's the first word that you said on this podcast, chaos. I think that's what the Steelers bring in this game. They get a huge upset win in Buffalo. Granted, like you said, if the winds don't come, and if they calm down and they're more like 5 to 10 miles per hour winds, I do think Buffalo controls this game. But with the conditions as they are, Steelers run the ball, they control the pace of this game, and they squeak out a victory to move on to the next round.
What's the ABV on that butter beer there, Chris? How many drinks are in that flight?
8.5, you know. And speaking of which, we're also finishing off that flight with the All Saints Crimson Halo, which is also a nice beer. It's a different switch up from the other, the IPA and the butter beer, but it's a great way to finish your flight. Come down to Mike's Beer Bar to experience all the different flight beers you can get, with over 500 beers to choose from, 300 local beers and 80 local beers available on tap. He's Brian Batkill. I'm Chris Carter. This has been the North Shore Drive podcast. Our crew will be there in Buffalo covering this game live. You can find all of our coverage at post-gazette.com. And of course, we'll have our post-game thoughts here on this podcasting channel from our guys, Ray and Jerry, who will be on site. And then of course, after this game, we'll also have the North Shore Drive podcast coming up Monday, where we recap what happened in this game. Are the Steelers moving on? If they're not, what was the biggest cause of it? And what are the biggest questions heading into the offseason? We'll see you here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.